Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back to the After the Sermon podcast. I am Pastor Ben here with Pastor Matt.
Hey, guys.
And we've just been going through the book of Acts, looking at the stories and knowing that there's lots of details in there, things that we just can't get to as we're taking this limited series through the book of Acts. So that being said, we do want to make sure that those applications from God's word that we talked about on Sunday are just being reinforced as we get the chance to dive in a little bit deeper here. This past Sunday, we looked at Acts 4 coming out of the miraculous story of the lame man who was healed and raised to walk. And then Acts 4 tells the aftermath of what happened. And so what's going on here as we're getting into this next part of the story?
Yeah, so Peter and John have just, through the power of Jesus, saw a lame man healed. He was outside the temple. He asked for money. And they give the, I think, iconic line of silver and gold have I none. That's the King James version of that.
Well, that's the little song I learned as a kid.
Yes, I like that. I can't escape the way it's, because then it's, but such that I have give I thee. Mm-hmm. Which means, but I have this. And then they go from there, proceed in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so from this, it causes quite a commotion in the community, in the temple, and they are brought before a council because they have greatly annoyed the religious leaders. And greatly annoyed is literally in the Bible. And I love that. We talked about how much I just love that. Because they're bold with the message of the gospel. And so there's a back and forth at this council. Like, why did you do this? And then Peter proclaims to share the gospel, even references Jesus, whom they killed, and talks about his resurrection. And
if I'm sitting there in a council and being told by these two scrubby men, you killed this person who healed this guy, I would be greatly annoyed.
Oh, yeah, I would be like, Peter and John are not helping their cause. The council's hoping, oh, just fall in line like a good Jewish boy and you'll be fine. But they don't. They stand firm on what happened, why they're there, what they're doing, what God's called them to do. They're gospel bold. And so the council tells them, don't do this anymore. And they let them go. And so Peter and John completely ignore this request and just, again, cause an uproar. They go back to the people there, the church, and they celebrate what God's doing. And then they pray for boldness. And then after that, they are picks up in chapter 5. That story continues a little bit in verse 12, where they continue to preach the gospel of Jesus. And then they're thrown in prison, threatened with death. And then the chapter concludes with one leader saying, hey, we need to be very careful. They could actually be doing this for God. And so it calls into question, what is God doing in the world? We don't know what God's doing. And because we as Christians don't know what God is doing, we should be bold with the gospel because we want to be involved in his work in the world. Because we do know that what he is doing is drawing people to himself. So to the outside world, they are questioning all of this. But for us in the church, we're certain that God desires to save sinners. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus.
Yeah, the prayer that they have when they get out is just really powerful. It's even probably, I haven't done a point by point, but just looking at it, really follows the Lord's Prayer.
Yep.
Sovereign Lord, our Father who art in heaven, the God who made everything.
Yep.
There's just some good stuff. And then look on their threats, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Right? It is 100% recognition of this is the Lord's work.
Yeah.
And we are here to.
And they recognize just at the beginning of the prayer, sovereign Lord. Like they are fully aware that God is in control of all things. They've just been arrested. They know Jesus told Peter, you're going to die the same death that I had. What they did to me, they're going to do to you. And we find out Peter dies upside down on a cross. So they're seeing this, Jesus' words come to fruition here, and yet they don't question, God, are you in control? Like, God, do you see my persecution? No, they're celebrating the sovereignty of the Lord. Like, God, you are in control. These people aren't in control of my life. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but we belong to God. Peter understood he doesn't belong to these people. So even if they do kill him, he still belongs to God. And so I think in that prayer, sovereign Lord, and then quoting the Psalms and scripture, and then all of this, the nations are raging, everything around us. God, give us boldness to preach your word.
And then our favorite character that's all throughout, I shouldn't say character, because it's a true person, but right, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Just we're going to continue to see through all of Acts.
Yep. Yeah, he fills them with boldness at the end of chapter 4. So we talked about it on Sunday. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Fill me. I need boldness. I can only do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think so many of us try to be bold without the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't work. And I think that's why we don't share the gospel, because we're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to accomplish what only he can accomplish.
And he's accomplishing it through, as verse 13 says, uneducated common men.
Yeah, they might as well just said, they perceived them to be stupid. Mm-hmm. And I love that Luke writes that, because it's almost, oh, we know who we are. We're aware. They were aware. Peter and John were aware. They're fishermen. And I think that's what makes it so much more spectacular, is that they are ordinary people who trusted a sovereign God, who were given the Holy Spirit, and through his power turned the world upside down, as we see in Acts chapter 17 later on.
Yeah, so and related to that, right, these are just normal guys, regular guys, and they're speaking into, in this case, they're at the temple, and so they're speaking to this kind of specific group. As we talked about on Sunday, the idea of finding our fishing pond and seeing the pool that's around us, who, you know, whether it's our work or our families or whatever that is, how can we pray for this boldness as we are finding our fishing ponds?
Yeah. So that idea comes from when Peter and John are called as disciples to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. And there's, for one, there's intentionality. You can't catch fish if you don't go fishing. That is just common sense. So you have to be intentional, which means for a lot of us sitting down and recognizing where we are, like, is the place that I work, my neighborhood, is this my fishing pond?
The answer, by the way, is yes.
The answer is yes. Well, so
whatever you come up with.
The answer is yes, because that's probably how the Holy Spirit's leading you. That first thing that came to your mind is like, man, are my friends? Yes, your friends are. Yeah. So it's okay. If this is my fishing pond, I need to go and fish. So it could, I think it's nothing complicated. If it's at the gym, just you're meeting people there, these people, if it's in your neighborhood walking, hey, it's as you go, you're making disciples. You're not going out of your way to do this. You're being intentional where you are. And so I think we think making disciples is, I got to add something else to my life. No, it is all of your life at home. So if you work from home, it could mean, hey, I need to go up to the park during lunch, walk, start playing pickleball, if you love pickleball, join a pickleball group, doing things intentionally to meet people and befriending them and serving them, but also sharing the gospel with them. So for me, My fishing pond currently is the ball field where my kids play baseball and softball. So I have very limited time, right? Being a bivocational pastor, you're bivocational. So we're pulled in different directions. And so this year in the spring, the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, you need to be the head coach in the fall. And I've never been a head coach because I don't have enough time. But the Holy Spirit said, you need to be a head coach. And so I did that, and I've had just a joy getting to know these parents and ministering to them when I can, being able to share the gospel a few times and building these relationships with their sons and encouraging them. And this is my fishing pond. And there's been a lot of times where I've prayed for rainouts, so I didn't have to go. And we've missed a few practices because of it. And I think, because I've been praying, Lord, I want to be around these people as much as I can. So what would you say your fishing pond is?
Definitely right now, it's my team at Chick-fil-A, where a couple months ago, one of the ways the team members will come up and they'll ask where they need to go. But somebody said, who's in charge? And I said, the Lord God is in charge. And I couldn't be more thankful for that. But I can tell you where you're going to work today. But since then, I've really thought about that aspect. And I have the advantage of being in an environment where not that every single team member is a Christian or a believer, but when your company's corporate statement says that their purpose is to glorify God, mm-hmm. it makes it easier to have just open conversations with people yep. and get to know about them and their struggles and their successes. And so I've been trying to just to know my team members more, and the things that they'll open up about while they're putting chicken in back, when they know they have someone that cares about them and will listen, that's when you get that opportunity to speak Jesus into their lives. Yeah.
And it's such you hear about people's problems. Hey, my car broke down. I had a medical issue. And I'm like, hey, I'm praying for you. Hmm. And then pray for them. Lord, will you intervene in their life in such a way? Like, our God is a miracle working God. The whole boldness comes out of a God doing a miracle. Hmm. And I think we lack a lot of faith I don't know if God could save that person. I don't know if God could intervene. You know what? I know he can. I don't know if he will, but I know he can. And so with boldness, I want to even bring people to the throne room of God who may not be currently welcome there because they're not in Jesus. But I want them to see that, hey, there is a way. There is a way too. So yeah.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
It does. Because they understood the Lord's sovereign. God is in charge of saving people. We're not, but we've been commanded to share the message of salvation. Hmm. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Yeah. It should be out of joy. I get to tell the good news to someone. I'm going to do this. So Facebook, social media, everywhere is your fishing pond. The world is your oyster, but But I think we have to see our lives as missionaries. Spurgeon said, this would have been a good quote to add to the sermon. You're either a missionary or you're an imposter. And I've been just convicted this past week of being more vocal about my faith and just really taking a, I don't care what you think about me, I'm going to talk about Jesus attitude.
So what other barriers, we have skirted around a couple, but what keeps us from sharing the gospel more?
There's a lot. I think it's probably different person to person. I shared a few kind of generic ones that could probably fall under these categories. One, people think it's someone else's responsibility. Pastor Matt, share the gospel. Yes, and we should, but also your fishing pond is not my fishing pond. That terminology has really helped me. Like when you think of fishing, I know you're a great fisherman and you love fishing.
I've caught some bluegill in my life.
Yes, but that was from Publix. So.
No, if we're going to talk about fish, I can tell you about the rest.
Or the grocery store. We'll scale back from this conversation.
Yeah, that's a good hook, though.
Yeah, there we go. All right. That's the podcast, the second podcast. Bad pastor puns. All right. What were we talking about? When you're fishing, fishermen have their spots. And nobody, they get annoyed when another fisherman comes over and says, hey, now we shouldn't be annoyed when other people are sharing the gospel where we are. But we also recognize, hey, that's not my spot. I have my spot that I'm going to go to and share the gospel. So you can't expect, I can't share the gospel with where you are at work. That's your responsibility and you should be doing it. We want to equip you to do that. So that's one reason. Second reason, I think it's simply a fear of man, going to be rejected, going to be dismissed, laughed at, mocked. They may ask a question I don't have an answer to. And so because of our fear of man, we don't have a fear of the Lord. And so that's two different types of fears. We're concerned what man will do to us instead of fearing or revering the greatness of God. So the more we fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as Proverbs says. The more we see the greatness and holiness and power of God, then our fear of man diminishes. You'll always have people that'll laugh at you, always have people that will reject you. You'll lose relationships for following Jesus. And that hurts. And I don't want to diminish that in any way because it does hurt. I know firsthand what that's like. But at the same time, that can't stop me from sharing the gospel. And I trust, hey, if they did it to Jesus, they would do it to me. So that's the second thing. And I think the third reason is maybe we just don't know what to say. And I think that's the power of a testimony. We didn't get into this Sunday, but simply telling someone, hey, can I tell you how Jesus changed my life? That's an eyewitness testimony. And that goes a long ways of I was a sinner, lost in my sins. And then through a conversation I had with someone, I realized that God sent his son, Jesus, who lived the perfect life. And Jesus died on a cross for my sins. He took on the wrath of God. He died a death I deserved. And he was perfect. And then he rose again 3 days later, conquering death and giving life to all those who believe in his name. And when I believed in his name and confessed my sin, my life changed forever. And now I love the Lord and I'm following Jesus. I have peace and joy in times when I don't think that should be the case. Do you have a story like that? And so just flipping your own testimony and just sharing that goes a long way. So,
yeah. And I think sometimes too, we feel like our testimony might not be powerful enough because it's like,
yeah,
I didn't come from jail or I didn't have all these horrible dramatic things happen. So why would anyone care about my story? But the people you're talking to also don't have probably that dramatic past either. So while those stories are neat to hear and we know the Lord works in all different ways, again, going back to the text, these are common, uneducated men.
Yep.
And yet, gospel changed their lives. And
yep,
if you have believed, it's changed your life. And so that story that you have to tell is impactful because the gospel is impactful.
Every salvation story is a powerful story.
Mm-hmm.
A dead sinner is raised to life because of Jesus. It doesn't matter what type of dead sinner they were. That's mm-hmm. a miracle. And that's what this whole story is about, or came about. Jesus performed a miracle. And because of that, we're bold with the gospel.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, such good stuff. And just good reminders that we all have a story to tell. And we all have fish who are ready to hear it. Fish here, but I imagine they must.
I don't know.
I didn't do my research on fish this week. But
I've got nothing for you. I don't know.
Any other last thoughts about this text as we wrap up?
Yeah, I want to end with just encouraging everyone who's listening. Go and share the gospel with someone. You'll find so much joy just in sharing the message of the gospel. And if you're struggling with that, pray for boldness. And I believe, and I'm confident that if you pray for boldness, like these believers, even pray the prayer that they prayed. Sit down wherever, sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, and you can keep going. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. That's one of those prayers that I believe that if you pray, the Lord will do it. You're not asking for something outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Father in heaven, give me boldness to proclaim your word to the nations.
Help me to do the thing you told me to do.
Yes. So if you're struggling with that, pray this prayer. Wake up, pray this prayer every morning. I might actually pray this in the car. We got a game tonight. Lord, give me the boldness. There's always an opportunity. I don't want to waste it. So don't waste your opportunities to share the greatest news ever known to man, that Jesus saves sinners.
All right. Next week, we'll continue our journey into Acts. Another powerful story, but in a very different way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those stories that just drop you dead right where you are.
And with that, we will look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Always, if you need something, reach out to us. We love you. And we just look forward to seeing what God does in our community through the work of the gospel.
Yeah, let's go share God's grace with every life.